Hello and welcome to the Even Me podcast. This is your host, More Speaks.
And your girl, Kim.
And your girl, Kim. All right. So today, we have a special one. So question for today is, what is the reason for going back to a past relationship? And I'll let Kim go ahead and start us off today.
Okay. So I've been guilty, and I know many, many other women been guilty of this. We always say, oh, why did she go back? And she's like a sick puppy chasing behind him. What's her problem? She needs to leave. I now understand that in order to say those things, you have to, if you have experienced it, then you can understand what the other woman's issue is. We don't know what her background is. You know, is she looking for love and that's familiar to her? Yes, you're going through the ups and downs, the pain and different things like that, but it's familiar. So some people stay in what's familiar to them, then moving on, because it's scary. I'm not going to lie. Like anything in life, you know, learning something new, doing something new is very scary. And people that say that is not lying to themselves, right? So, now, I've been the one back in the day that I didn't need to go back. You know what I'm saying? When I left. And I was like, and I was the judgmental woman that said, oh, how this woman chasing behind this dude and crying and all that kind of stuff and da-da-da-da. Well, I experienced that too now. So different things happen to people for different reasons. So at that time when I was younger, I never experienced loss, or I experienced, you know, not being accepted by, you know, my mom's side of the family. So yeah, that, you know, that was one thing. But to experience losses, and then this person you gravitated to at the time that you was going through those losses, even though it's turmoil, it's hectic, it's familiar. So until that person, male or female, gets their mind together and figure out, this is not good for me, this is toxic for me, don't judge that person. That person is tearing up inside because they know this is not where they need to be. They know there's something better in store for them. But at this moment, they don't see themselves a way out, because they don't see who. Well, if my own family didn't accept me, you know, who else gonna accept me? You know, all the loss could have been, you know, loss of parents leaving, you know, kids that become foster kids. You know, that's turmoil. Or, you know, a woman going through a relationship with a man for many years to think that was her king, and her king put her aside for everything else. So
the question, follow-up question, and I'll kind of speak on my situation. Now, is it you're going back because you miss him, or you going back because you're used to him and being like around him, even though situation may not be great? Because you kind of mentioned it, you know, that you get used to it, you know, and like you said earlier, it's possibly your lonely season or something like that. Mm-hmm. But is it because you're used to him, or is it because you missed something that he provided? You know, whether it doesn't have to be like sexually, it can be, you know, companionship or something like that. So what do you miss that makes you want to go back?
Many times in different people, and I can say it could be that you being lonely and you miss that just somebody to hug you. And when people say that, oh, you know, I ain't never deal with nobody that like to be hugged that much or held, that's a bullshit ass lie. What person don't want to be hugged? What woman, number one, don't want to be hugged or don't want to be held? So I think it's for me, it's just something I need at that moment. You know, when you feeling at your weakest and at your breaking point, you want that part of that person, that you omit everything that was bad and just look at that little part that was good about them that you want and you need. Like, just somebody to hug me. Just somebody to kiss me. You know, just that, yeah, everything else was bad and things like that. But it's just that mental breakdown, emotional breakdown. And I think that comes with not fully being fulfilled with myself. You see? Mm. So sometimes when you go through a lot of things, you go through therapy, you go through, you know, whatever, and you smile and make it seem like everything is okay. And in reality, it's not. So you done broke down so much of yourself because of all the loss and everything that you've been through. This is what you think that's for you. You think it is. This is what you deserve. Not knowing that, oh, I'm enough. I'm enough. I deserve. Yeah, I've been through my ugly ducklings and, you know, broke ducks. I deserve a swan now, you know? And I have to go through whatever I had to go through to get to him. And God is not going to give him to me until I fully realize that I am enough.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm listening to you and I'm kind of thinking of my situation too, because, I mean, I had my going back and forth as well, and I'm trying to just think, because I know at one point, you know, when people would ask, I would say, you know, I went back because of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would say 90% of that was a lie. You know, I still had some type of love for that person. Mm-hmm. I still wanted, I was like you said, I got used to that person. I got used to what they did for me. I got used to the way they treated me. Even, you know, just skip, like you said, just skipping all the bad parts, you know, everything they had that was like negative and everything I had that was negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the times they were good is what your mind plays tricks on you. You dwell on what happened good and you're like, you know, if I can have all that back,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then comes the gotcha, because, you know, you have to take the good with the bad, because you got to remember there's a reason why y'all separated. There's a reason why y'all, you know, got divorced. There's a reason why, you know, you dislike that person so much. And that's what, you know, comes back to play. And that leads me to, you know, to kind of say there's always going to be good in that person and there's always going to be bad. Are you willing to take the little bit of good to have, you know, to for your memories to be fulfilled, to take on all the bad that they had? Because, I mean, if you have somebody that has a mental problem, it doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a drinking problem, if they have a smoking problem, if they have, you know, if they're on drugs or they have a gambling problem, yes, the times that you guys are together, it's going to seem like, oh, they're great. You know, they're not doing what they used to do, but then bam, in like a split second, everything just comes back. You know, it could be, you know, they just start smoking hella weed all the time, or, you know, or, you know, let's just say it's not like that type of habit. Let's say it's a habit of calling you names, or a habit of bringing up old issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it that's not going to go away. It's the same person. It's just at that point in time when they want you back, they put the angel out there.
Mm-hmm.
They put the messenger out there, but the evil is still inside. It's not, like I say, it's not going to go away.
Yeah, and
you know,
that's so true, you know, and I've seen it on numerous occasions. And I could say I was that person too. So
you were the evil person?
I could say I was at a point in time. Like, I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna make this work, and then as soon as you pop off and do something, I run. And that's, I am a runner. So I think all these songs they talk about runners.
She's a runner. She's a track star.
That's me. It's always been me. But to a certain extent, I try to stay. But if it's just starting to tear at me and I don't want to, you know, go through the argument and I don't want to go. So I'll back away. I'll run away. because I'm not used to that. I'm not used to that constantly arguing. Now, I can argue. Don't get me wrong. I think I can put on a good argument. But when it starts taking a toll on your, you know, when I get those headaches and they nonstop, that's how I know it's just too stressful and I need to step back from myself. But I think as women, and I say men too, because I'm not going to lie, I've seen men go back to women and be there when I even was like, that's some bullshit. You truly have some type of love, deep down love, and that love is so strong for that person, you want that person to change. You want some kind of change, and you beckon on how much love you've given them, that love is strong enough to make them change.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I think not only does that person have a mental issue, but the person going back has a mental issue because they have a mental block.
Mm-hmm.
And that mental block in their mind is putting a facade. Oh, he's going to come back and he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And everything's going to be different. But guess what? Everything is still the same. You know, you're still going to argue. You're going to fight. You know, everything is going to continue the same. But in your mind, you're like, he's going to change. He's going to change. He's going to change. And, you know, to the point where y'all together for a whole year or whatever, you know, you took him back or something and it's never changed. It's still the same. But now you've gotten used to everything all again.
Mm-hmm.
And your mind is still, you know, like they say, love is blind. Your mind is going to make it seem like everything's great. Love is going to make you be blind. And you're going to think that, you know, he's the greatest man, the greatest woman, and everything is moving in the right direction because you want it to move in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he or she is just leading you on until, you know, either one of you snap and then it's like, okay, the hell with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't deal with this no more because now you see that nothing's changed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, in my case, I think I only saw the good. You know, I didn't see the bad until the bad started happening, you know, or, you know, the old memories or this and this and that, you know, arguments for dumb, you know, dumb shit, you know, something small just turned to something big. So go ahead, continue. I'm sorry. I just had to get that out.
No, you're telling the truth. I mean, because it is a mental problem with the other person too. So even though this person going through whatever they going through emotionally, mentally, and I figured that is a mental problem for somebody else. No, I'm going to just say me. It's a mental problem for me. And the mental portion of it for me, where I'm starting to understand, is acceptance. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, well, my own mom didn't really want me. So why am I important to anybody else? You know what I'm saying? And that's something that you fight every single day of your life to not deal, you know, not see it like that. And people are like, oh girl, you good enough, you this and that. No, you don't know. Don't put anything on me and telling me that I should heal this time. There's the time for this to happen. You can't, because the way you healed and you got over your stuff is different the way I got to get over mine. You don't know how much that mentally took me down. And then to experience it and experience it and experience it, then go through life as an adult and experience it and experience it. That is like the worst case. And so when you think that, okay, I got to accept this for this person to love me, this is the only way this person can love me. You know, I got to accept the, you know, verbal abuse. I got to accept the, you know, the infidelity that you're doing. I gotta accept that because you love me. No, I deserve better. Like, and I'm starting to see that now, but you still be in that moment of, you know, holding space or that space alone, and it does weigh on you. I know people say, oh, working on myself in my lonely spaces, but say how you started off in a lonely space. Because they always say, yeah, I'm working on me. You see all these things on Instagram. I'm doing me. I'm getting me better. I'm da-da-da-da focusing on me. But when you came in that lonely space by yourself, how did you really start it feel? How was when you came in? Yeah, you're better coming out of it. But how did you come in? And they don't say that. You thinking, okay, I'm in a lonely space. What the heck is wrong with me? God got me to himself. But I'm sitting here and I'm sad and I'm hurting. And I feel in love of myself. And then you look on Instagram, which social media is starting to be kind of very, I see that it can trick you. But you look on
the facade.
Yeah.
All that.
You look on there and you see this person, well, I'm doing me and I'm taking time for myself and da da da. But where was I? Like one girl, I can't remember her post. She posted the ugly, the bad. She posted all the way to the end. Now, was it true? But it was real because I can experience that. I can relate to that because I'm experiencing that. I'm feeling that pain. I'm feeling that doubt. I'm feeling that unwantedness. I'm feeling all this. And I know I have to go through this to get to the better side. But going through it is not as easy as it seems, because one minute you're on a high, next minute you're on a low, then you be in between. And, you know, they say trouble don't come for God to punish you. Trouble comes for God to, that's what I wrote.
To teach you.
Yeah,
to
teach you, to introduce you to your future. Because if you can go through the trouble, you definitely can make it through the future. You just forget about all the extra stuff. Or not forget, but you remember, but you forget how they did you. You just remember what you had to do to overcome it and not to get back into it. So I hold a lot of stuff in because I can speak to a lot of women. And the way they'll say stuff, girl, you know damn well you wasn't going to deal with that like that. You know, you're telling me because you want me to believe you was a strong woman through all that pain you went through. Nah. Sometimes I talk to men and, you know, the right men give you the right advice. And that makes you, I don't want no man to make me feel good. I want you to just tell me straight out, like, if that's not how I need to be treated or you think I'm doing something wrong, hey, Kim, you very hard. Like my other friend, he told me I put people on an interview status. Like even my supervisor, my manager told me I interview people and they feel like they always on trial with me. That's something I need to kind of dial down, because you know I'm always putting people as guilty. Then what is you're guilty until proven innocent in the law of Kim. So that's my issue.
The Kim law.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think the whole acceptance thing, and this is just my opinion, because I mean, you're gonna deal with it, you know, your way. But I think the whole acceptance thing is another mental thing. Mm-hmm. So you may have not been accepted by your mother or your mother's, you know, siblings or you know family. But I think that's your phone.
Oh yeah.
I think 100% in your mental, if you accept yourself first, you love yourself. Even though and I get everybody's like, oh, I'm working on me, like you said. Mm-hmm. But I think that's true. If you don't work on yourself, if you don't love yourself, you don't work on yourself, you don't accept yourself for who you are, you can't move forward. And I think I've accepted it throughout the years. I was an asshole, you know. I did dumb shit, you know. So I had to change. I knew I had to change in order for me to keep a woman, keep a good woman, and move forward. You know, I knew I had to change. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, with some people, I don't 100%. I don't look for acceptance now. If I'm like at work, you know, something to do with work or something to do with a project I'm doing, yes, I'm looking for acceptance because this is something I'm doing for the company. But in my personal life, I mean, 100%, I think I can give a shit on what people think or, you know, if they accept me. You know, only person that I look for acceptance you know, at least, you know, not 100% acceptance, but I would say she's okay with me doing what I do as my own mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm not looking to her to agree with me to say, yeah, you're doing okay. I'm just saying, you know, just agree with me with what I'm doing. That's it. That's all I need. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm doing wrong and I'm doing wrong, you don't have to accept that. Mm-hmm. That's something totally different. So I think, you know, we kind of see a little different when it comes to that. You know, I haven't really dealt with acceptance like that, you know, because, you know, my mom was cool. My family was cool. But mm-hmm. I think I've always had the I don't give a shit attitude since I was younger. So it just continued, you know, even when I did my separation and all that, I still had to give I don't give a shit attitude. Now, was it 100%? I don't think so, because I went back. So I know that I don't think I was fully 100% out of the relationship until I was out of it. You know, I could say it that way, you know. So me going back, I think, to me, knowing at this point, or even, you know, 10 years ago, I knew at that point I had to get out, and I got out, and that's what I did. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you the second part.
Okay.
So even if you knew that this person was not good for you, especially knowing that they have a mental issue and would constantly bring up old issues from the past, how can you move forward and how can you connect with this person, or, you know, try, give them another try, or give her another try?
I don't think you can. I've tried it. I tried it numerous of times. And I'm starting to see you can't. I mean, okay, I'm not going to say you can't, because I think, you know, one of my last relationship, we had a breakdown and had some stuff to happen. And I think that once because he wasn't the one to bring up stuff, it was me. And once I got over it and let it go, because I was hurting the most. And we moved past that. We moved until we came to another hurdle. But it was okay to move, you know, work through. I just think that it has to be a two-way street. Like, you know, okay, let's sit down. What happened? It happened. There's nothing we can change about what happened. We don't have a magic wand to go back in the past to change it. Let's figure this out. Now, when that other person has to inflict, and this is the only way they know how to do inflict pain, because they're hurting still, is by bringing up the past, then somebody has to go. And I think on myself, I'm stubborn, where I won't leave until it'd be a petty shit I'll leave on, but I won't leave on the big things where I need to leave on. So I just don't think it can work from there. I don't think that, you know, if one person said, okay, yeah, you cheated and you did all this, and they not saying that anymore, but the other person, well, this is what you did to make me do this, and you constantly bringing it up, that's a problem. That's a problem, because right there, to me, you may have love for that person, but you don't care, because you inflicting that again. So I mean, it gotta be somebody. It gotta be a two-way street. Both parties have to want to change and want to move past, even though it's in the back of your mind. You can't bring it up all the time.
Yeah, I think, like you said, both parties have to come to a mutual agreement and basically say, hey, you don't bring this up, you know, or you don't do this activity or this, you know, whatever that will cause that to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Same as the other person. Well, I won't do this petty stuff on purpose to bring it back up, or I won't do this. You know, you got to meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't meet in the middle, because a relationship is, I don't know, I've learned now that a relationship is common ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both of you have to know where the common ground, where you guys meet, you know, who's doing what for the relationship, who's, you know, let's say one's a planner, the other one has the money, vice versa. One cooks, one cleans. You know, it's got to be, like you say, it's got to be a two-way street, and it's got to, you got to both meet in the middle and be sure. And it's not going to be all roses, you know. Today, you know, let's say 1 to 2 weeks you guys don't argue, you know, they don't bring up the, you know, the old stuff, you know, and then they bring it up one day and you guys talk about it and you put it in the past again, which, I mean, things are going to trigger. And I think I've told you this before, you know, certain memories are going to pop up because of certain things. And I think that's why sometimes it's easy to go back to a person that you were with before, mm-hmm. just because that memory came up and you're like, oh, hey, that was, we took some good pictures or something, mm-hmm. and we did this together, and you start to dream of that good thing. But guess what? Then you start to think even harder. You're like, well, shit, you know, right after that, we had this huge fight, mm-hmm. you know, you totally forget, you know, and then once that memory triggers that, the other, you know, bad situation, and then you're like, well, I don't want to deal with that anymore. And that's what happens. You know, you need to take yourself out of a situation if you know that in the future it's going to come back, because it's going to come back. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how good that person is, how good that person says they're going to be, you know, or how good you're going to be, you know, or how you want to forget, something is going to trigger something in the past, and it could happen again.
Yeah, it's definitely going to raise. It definitely going to raise its head, especially if that person have like a substance abuse.
Yeah,
that's going to come up regardless. Or even if you occasional drinker, you may bring up some stuff. I mean, I don't know, like. Only thing I can say as of now, you know, I'm getting older. So it's so much that you can take, right? I could take a lot when I was in my 20s and 30s. In my 40s, I can't. I can't take all that. And then, especially going
40. Come on, it's still 20.
Thank you. It's that here. I have chickpea. No. you stupid. But no, it's just like, it's constant. Like my daughter, I like how she said it I think I said it before. She said it's induced stress. And she said, Mom, if you continuously dealing with induced stress, it's going to break you down. It's going to make you look older. It's going to make your body start falling apart. It's going to take so much out of you because you already deal with stress. Then you have somebody inflicting and inducing stress on you. That's just like, men can't understand it, but many women, when they induce your labor.
I knew you were going to say that.
They induce that? Come on now. That shit? Oh, my God.
It's coming regardless.
It's like the work. I'd rather go through a regular labor, and I think I can make it through that, than an induced labor. And that's when I'm like, okay, regular stress is like the regular labor. You're going to deal with it. It's going to come. You got to breathe through it, make it through it, and go through it. Okay. Whew. Got to the end of it and seen the baby through, seen the project.
You got to do your Lamaze.
Yes. But when you got that induced stress, and that's like an induced labor, oh my God, that's coming. And it does not, and if for some reason, it's the worst thing ever. It takes your whole body, and it seems like it's just crushing every morsel of you. And that's how I'm putting it with how my daughter said it, induced stress. Induced stress does make you not want to get out of bed. Does not, you know, you don't want to eat or you overeat. And that is the worst thing, especially if you hold it in. Like with me, I may talk, oh, you abandoned me for 3 weeks, so I ain't had nobody to talk to. So you hold it in because you don't talk to too many people. But I just had to talk. I was like, blah, 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 blah. Like, as soon as I got on the phone with you, I started blabbing and like, oh my God, I'm tripping with myself. I'm doing this that I said I wouldn't do. I don't understand why. I went through my purge season. I thought I was good. But Satan brings one thing that he knows he can get you with. You say you cleansing yourself. You getting right for God. You focusing on him. Ha ha, I got something for you. Boom, let me let this magically reappear in your life. This induced stress that I know that all, they have to say the right words and they can kind of get you. And that's what I deal with. But, you know, sitting there those 3 weeks you left me and, I ain't had nobody.
Was it 3 weeks?
It felt like three weeks. I feel abandoned. I feel really abandoned. I don't think you can get over this. I mean, unless I get invited to one of y'all golf things. Just saying that, you know, it may ease the pain. But no, you see how I was. Like, what, we talked for 2 hours?
Damn near
2 hours. Because I just, yeah. I mean, some people don't understand what people are going through in their own little oasis. And you think that person is okay? You think they good? Because a lot of people don't want to tell people their business. Because first of all, you feel embarrassed. I did. I felt embarrassed. And you and another person, I told that. And I was like, I just, you know, it's an embarrassment to me. Because I'm like, I did so well. I've been doing so good. So how did this happen to me? And I don't know what's going on. And I don't know, am I feeling bad? Because I don't want to be the bad person and I want to make sure everybody's good. And I can't make sure everybody's good if I'm not good.
Yeah. I think just listening to you speak, I'm just like thinking, I'm like, if you feel like embarrassed because you're going back into the situation or embarrassed because somebody's gonna like mention something about the situation, mm-hmm. I think you should stay clear from the situation, because now you're putting yourself in that predicament and you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know someone's gonna say something, oh man, Kim got back with this guy and he did this, he did that, you know, Anthony was with that girl and she did this to him, you know, and he got back with her. Why would he do that? Mm-hmm. And uh-huh. I think if you know, you gotta trust your gut. If you know that the situation will come back, you know it's gonna come back.
Mm-hmm.
So why put yourself in that situation? Why put yourself in that predicament where you're gonna be feel embarrassed?
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna go somewhere with that person and someone's gonna say something. Why be the clown in the room or the elephant in the room knowing that that's gonna happen? I think that's like red flag number one.
Yeah.
You know it's gonna happen, so it's gonna happen because it's already in the back of your mind. You know it's coming. So I think that's red flag number one. Red flag number two, you know in your heart that that person is not right for you and you're trying. Now, let's say you've never tried or anything like that and you guys just talk on the phone and, you know, everything's hunky-dory, but then when you see each other, it's totally different. It's like, let's do this. And then you're not sure, you know, about the whole situation. That's red flag number two to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the third red flag is it happened in the past. You know it did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna come back. It's not like he's a new person. It's not like he gave his life to God or something, or she's given her life to God and they're like holy now, and it's been like 4 or 5 years and you see the change. I think if you see any glimpse or any speck of evidence that that person is still the same person, run away. Just go the other way. Just don't put yourself, don't be that one that demeans yourself because you want to feel a certain way that you felt before, knowing that that person is still the same person. It's not like it's a whole new relationship. That's my take on it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know I put myself in that situation because when I went back to my ex-wife, I know that my family was like, well, he said this, he said that. That's why I always said, you know, it's anything in your relationship or anything, you know, that happens, just keep it to yourself. Don't tell anybody, because when too many people know what happened, it's going to come up. Oh, she didn't do this. She didn't cook. She didn't take care of the kids right. Or they drink too much. They just sit around and watch TV all day. You know, it's going to come back up because that's all they remember. You remember the good. Mm-hmm. They remember all the bad.
Yes.
You know, and you got to know, as humans, you can do 99 things correct. Mm-hmm. But that one thing that you do wrong, mm-hmm, is the only thing they're going to remember, no matter what. Whether your kids, your family, your job, they're only going to remember the bad thing. And that's going to happen. And it's without a doubt the number one thing that happens in this world. Mm-hmm. You no matter what situation, you can think about it in any situation, you can put it in any fact, you know, whether you're at church, whether, you know, it doesn't matter. That one thing that you do wrong is the only thing they're going to remember. And you can do, I can let you borrow $99 right now and you get out of debt, let's say, but you needed that $1, you know, to reach that $100. You're only going to remember that I didn't give you that $1. You're going to forget the whole $99 that I gave you. And it's crazy because that's the way the world works. That's the way people's minds work. And I know we are all guilty of it. Mm-hmm. All of us. Yeah. That's just the way we work.
And that's the thing that got me. That's why I went through my purging season, because I got tired of going back and forth. Like saying, okay, you did this, you did that, you did this, you did that. And then I had to sit there, evaluate who was for me and who wasn't, who really was my supposed to, I can, what is it, Tyler Perry, supposed to, the boosters, they're supposed to uplift me and then drop off, you know, or who was supposed to stay there on, you know, with me on this rocket ship. So I had to go through that. But when you saying that, how people bring up your, what that one thing, it's 16, 18 years ago, this one got doggone thing. Okay, so tell me what all the things that I did recently. Tell me everything that I did recently. Was I trying to be there for you? Did I try? How many times you pushed me away?
How does it start? You remember that one time?
Oh, yeah. Or
could have been 100 years ago.
Yeah. You did this, and I don't understand why you did that. And then you end up doing this and all that. But when are you going to take the accountability of what you did? Because there is, and, you know, there's always a reaction to the action, you know, to what you're doing to a person.
Yeah, and for every action, there's a reaction.
There you go. Yeah, so if I'm constantly cursing you, I'm constantly, you know, downing you, I'm constantly saying stuff negative to you, eventually, even a dog, right? That dog gonna run. That dog gonna be afraid of you. They gonna run. They gonna hide. They gonna shiver every time you come around. When that start to become me, that puts me in a predicament where I was as a kid. You know what I'm saying? And as a kid, at night, when my mom used to get drunk, I used to have to shiver in a corner. You know, what's gonna happen next? You know what I'm saying? So why, as an adult, I'm going to get in a relationship and do the same goddamn bullshit. As a kid, I couldn't protect myself. As a kid, I couldn't walk out and say, I don't want this and I don't want to be here no more. And in 1980 something, where was CPS? Nowhere to be found. Not in the black neighborhoods anyway, unless your mom or dad was on crack maybe, or some kind of drugs, but it was nothing there. So why in the hell in my adulthood that I have to feel what I felt when I was 9. That shit is not right. So yes, I'm a treat and try to figure it out. Yes, I love you. But what is it that you have to inflict? And you don't think you are, because you think you're just talking, but you're inflicting, you know, emotional and mental anguish on me. And you don't think you're doing that? But I'm trying to be there. You know what I'm saying? So, and I like to say that, they said, what this song by Daddy's Girl. So it's one of these little, whatever, Zydeco songs, right? And they talk about Daddy's Girls, that how, you know, our dad teaches us how to be treated by men, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and we know how to treat a man because we had our dad in our life. And I know I watched my dad do a lot of stuff, and I watched my dad be a freaking man through all that bullshit he had to deal with my mom, like fucked up shit, and he still did his shit, and not, to my knowledge, he never complained. To this day, he never complained that what he did. Was it hard for him? Yes. But he taught me that he was my first love before God. I mean, after God, he was my first love. But that's how I should be treated, how he treated me. Yeah, no man ain't have to spoil me, but where my dad never raised his voice at me. He chastised me. He never really had to put his hands on me, you know. And then he came to talk to me with sense. And then you forget that as a woman. So I don't care what nobody say. Oh, well, you know, her daddy was in her life. She should know how to be treated. Or the dad wasn't in this life. That's why this woman act that way. Regardless, uncle or whoever. But we should know, but we forget. Because you're not going to find. And I used to go through life looking for my dad in men, right? So the last, couple of, guys I was with in the past, they had to have a full beard. My dad had a full beard. You know, you had to be there. You had to be a good man working and all this stuff. But then they still had some fucked up issues. Because I was looking at, this is similar to my dad. But then they had some mama issues. They had some issues deep down that didn't arise. So I think the thing of it is that we have to figure out ourselves and what we like. Yeah, he don't have to have a beard. Just because my dad has a beard, I mean, he doesn't have to have a beard, and he still can be a good man. I didn't think a good man had, if you ain't had no beard, you wasn't a good man to me at first. So, but I have to learn how to change your standards, because if you keep going in the same pattern, you're going to keep getting the same goddamn results. And I kind of keep flunking. I ain't made it to the 12th grade yet. I keep flunking because I keep doing the same things. This have to be, he has to look like this. He has to be this. Never into the financial thing. I'm not like that, because the more money they have, the more problems they bring. But we do have to have a job and working and be kind of financially stable. But
some.
Yeah. But we deal with bullshit because we're looking for a certain thing. And I think some people I go back to because of financial stability. And I don't want nobody else to have it. I feel like, okay, I was there through all the bad shit and all the other shit. Nobody should reap my reward. But shit, what? I'm never going to reap that reward. The other person may, but I'm not. So why am I just holding on to something that may never happen?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I was thinking right now when you mentioned that, maybe that's one of the holdups as well, because you feel like, you want to stick to this person because you helped them get to a certain pinnacle, and you feel like, I don't want to let him go and he continues to rise, and then this next person takes over and they're going to reap every reward that I basically boasted him or her to get to. And I can see that, because, let's say, prime example, let's say, someone's going to school and you're pushing them through school, you're helping them, at home or at work or whatever. And let's say it's a woman, and because the man tends to be lazy and not help with kids. Granted, I know that. So let's say it's a woman, she's going through school, and the man has like been taking care of the kid, or whatever. Doing stuff that a man normally doesn't do. But then the woman's like, okay, I got a diploma, I got my degree or whatever, and you guys start fighting, and guess what? They get someone else. She becomes a doctor, she becomes like a lawyer or something. Now he feels like, well, I've dealt with that like 4 or 5 years, or however long they were married. And now she's doing like her own thing. She's got her own money, you know, and basically, what movie was that? There was a movie, I can't remember. The guy was an inventor, and he invented something, and the woman dealt with like her family always.
Oh, Acrimony, with Taraji P. Henderson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where at the end, like, he has like a big company, the lady that was pumping his head, mm-hmm. you know, or from the past helped him get the patent for the machine, and like her family always like, you know, like said he was trash, this and that, and his little project finally like, you know, made money, and he was like a millionaire. And at the end, he basically gives her like a big old check for a few million dollars or something like that, you know, in return. But that's like a happy ever ending, you know, happy ending. You don't see that, you know, the man or the woman is just going to move on and be like, the hell with you. Mm-hmm. You know, you treated me so wrong, even though she did, you know, if you watch the movie, she did stay there, you know, for long periods of time until it got to the point where she figured out he cheated one time or something. Mm-hmm. And then she left them. But I mean, I think that's a pretty decent example of what I'm talking about. But I mean, it doesn't happen that way. It's a freaking story. You know, the storyline is going to be better than what real life is. Mm-hmm. So,
and see, that's what gets me. I know they have to ad lib on these stories to make it seem better. You know what I'm saying? But tell a whole raw true thing, like, you know, some stuff, yeah, you have to add to it. I'd rather, if you tell my story, don't add my Prince Charming came. He hasn't. Yeah, he hasn't came yet. I mean, I'm looking out the window, I don't see the white horse and no Prince Charming on it yet. I mean,
nah, it's a broken duck outside, yeah, waiting for you.
Yeah, that sucker is so waiting with a cigarette in his mouth.
He's out there in Angleton.
Oh my God, nah, don't do that, don't do it. No, it's just like, I just tell a real, like, I want to see Sister Soldier book come to life. The Coldest Winter Ever. Oh my God, I love that book. I want to see it come to life because it's all the raw, and it shows that, yes, she comes, you know, out of prison and start doing better for herself, but it still shows that the hard times that she goes through. It still shows that it ain't, you ain't gonna come out and be like Tyler Perry movie, poof, everything. I went from nothing to something overnight. The struggles, and that's why I think when society makes kids and a lot of us who feed off of that, that things just supposed to happen overnight. Relationships supposed to happen overnight.
The social media age. Yep. Everybody thinks everything's supposed to happen. Like, you remember when you used to go through a drive-through and sit there like 10, 15 minutes, you know, and you didn't care because you were going to get your food pretty fresh. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, if they can get your food pretty quick, or if they mess up your order or something, like, I don't know if you've seen the report that, was it a Popeyes or something, where the dude complained about his fries not being fresh, or not the person not giving him his fries, and she was carrying a damn pistol at work and pulled it out. I think it's by Hobby Airport or
Jack in the Box. Jack
in the Box. Yeah. She pulled out the gun and started shooting at him.
But I think it was more to that, but I can't say.
There's got to be more to that, but I mean, I'm sure he went back and forth with her. But
yeah.
That still don't mean pull out a damn pistol.
Nah, it doesn't.
Some damn food.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think a lot of stuff we dealing with because we want to rush everything, and it doesn't come like that. And I think that's a lot of relationship issues, that you rush into something and you don't know that person, and you met that person in the pit when they was, you know, at some point of their life trying to get their life together, going through some things. You met them, but now you don't know how to deal with the person who evolved and change for the better. You don't know how to deal with them because you're so used to dealing with them in the pit instead of learning how to deal with them where they at now, you know. And I get that a lot, like, you know, when I talk about stuff or what I want to do, I don't get that, like, 100% like, hey, I think you can do it. I really think you can, but oh, this is it. Now, you know, sometimes if you want to do it, do it. But oh, this and that. You know, everybody go through trials and tribulation. You know, you go through your job when you first started. It wasn't the best at first, but now I kind of got to the easy stage, or you went to school to get where you at. It wasn't easy, but you had to go through it to get there. And so sometimes you just have to keep your stuff secret and just play it out, because when you going through it and something, a hiccup happened, and that person, well, I told you, and then automatically, instead of you keep pushing through it, you start giving up.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, some things I kind of keep quiet, but
yeah, I think certain things need to,
mm-hmm.
You got to keep certain things to yourself, because other people don't see that struggle or what you are trying to do, or like what opportunity you're giving that person, you know, or what chance you're giving that person to come out. Because it, like I said before, everything's not going to be, you know, roses and flowers as soon as, you know, a relationship starts. But you know, if it's going in the wrong direction, why it's going in the wrong direction. And I think at that point, I think ultimately you just need to just roll, just chunk the deuce, mm-hmm. to the broken duck,
mm-hmm.
with the mental issue or any habits,
mm-hmm.
you know, just chunk the deuce.
Yeah,
that's my last words for the podcast.
Yes, that's the thing. Fix you first, and then that means going through the ugly season and knowing that it's okay. It's not going to be gravy at first. It's going to be ugly for a while, but it's going to get better at the end. Just, you have to continuously go through it.
All right, you want to plug us? You want to take us out?
You take us out. Go ahead, take us out.
All right, so thank you for checking out the podcast. If you would like to speak on this discussion or any discussions that we've had, please feel free to hit us up on our Instagram or on our email, evenmepodcast@yahoo.com, or on Instagram, evenmepodcast, or even on any of the platforms that we are on, Apple, Anchor, Spotify, what else we got, Google, any of those platforms. Just hit us up with questions, and we'll respond as soon as we can, and we'll get you on the show. Thank y'all.
Thank you.